Hello and happy Thanksgiving. This is Alonzo Bowden, and you are listening to episode 200 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? I had no idea I had 200 episodes in me. I thank you so much for listening. Some of you have been along for the ride for a long time, so that's great. And it's Thanksgiving, so I'm supposed to be nice and show some gratitude. So we'll start out with telling you, I just got back from my vacation. I was in Nice, Valencia, and Monaco. I got to see MotoGP for my motorcycle fans out there, motorcycle racing fans. I got to see MotoGP in Valencia. They always say go to a race in Europe. I'll give you the difference. When they race here in Austin, Texas, in the U.S., 50,000 people show up over the course of a weekend. In Valencia, 120,000 people one day. It was amazing. Monaco was fantastic. Got to see my man Marcus Miller in concert. I met Prince Albert. Never met a prince before, so I can pretty much cross that off my list. So yeah, great vacation. What I missed while I was gone, again, Thanksgiving, right? Trying to keep it positive, trying to keep it happy, trying to look at some good things. GQ magazine picking Colin Kaepernick as Citizen of the Year. In my world, that's a good thing. Congratulations to Colin Kaepernick and standing up for his values, and not just standing up for his values, standing up for his values when it cost him literally millions of dollars, right? Because he's been blackballed by the NFL, and there's no debate on that anymore. Let's stop pretending there is. There are 70 quarterbacks in the NFL. He's better than half of them by any measure. They don't want him. So he stood up for what he believes in. He's not talking. He's not getting into some silly argument or Twitter feud with Donald Trump or any of the owners of the NFL or anything else. He made his point and he's standing by it. And kudos to him. Kudos to GQ for recognizing him. So that's good news. Charlie Manson finally died. Good news. Fuck him. He's gone. That's all he gets. Don't have to talk about that anymore. And Tiger Woods is hitting golf balls. So that's great news because personally, I never got to see Tiger play in his prime. It's one of my sports regrets. You know, there's some things you want to see or say you saw. I got to see Michael Jordan play basketball and so on. I got to see a lot of great things. I've seen LeBron play and so on. But I never got to see Tiger. So that's kind of sucks. So if he plays again, I'm going to go see him. All right, well, I tried for good news. Sorry, that's about it. Back to the usual. So the House has passed the tax bill, which I guess is good news if you're a millionaire because you're going to save some money on taxes. And, you know, those of you who live in trailer parks but have that $5.9 million estate to protect, you'll be happy to know there's no estate taxes. Bad thing that's happened to this with this. One thing I was reading about a possible outcome of this tax thing is hurting graduate students. There are graduate students who's, you know, and graduate students are broke, okay? Let's stop pretending that certain groups have money, okay? College professors, you're a tenured professor, you have money. You're a graduate student trying to make it, you don't have any money. And a lot of them, they get their money from the university. Their tuition is paid, etc. They work as teachers, blah, blah, blah. Well, they're talking about taking that away, taxing that tuition money as income. And as one pointed out, if you have $1,900 a month in expenses and you're only getting $1,300 a month from college, then that's going to be taxed. You can't go to college anymore. What does that mean? That means more brain drain on the United States. It means more brilliant, intelligent people won't get the opportunity, won't get the education that they need to become who they could become. Now, they'll still succeed. You know, certain people will succeed no matter what. But they will make it. Now, we had, you know, again, these congressmen and Congress is out of touch. And you know, term limits would be something that would help. But of course, we not going to get term limits because these idiots will never vote themselves out of their cushy jobs. And so Orrin Hatch, old senator, talked about, well, I worked my way through school. When Orrin Hatch went to school, it cost him $10,000 to go for 4 years. That same education, I think it was at Harvard. I'm just saying that. I'm not sure, but it was an Ivy League school. That same education is now $90,000 for 4 years. So, Orrin, you're a little out of touch. It's not 1960, okay? So once again, the United States is choosing to not spend money on education. Yeah, this was a Bernie issue. Bernie wanted free college, and I don't think we were going to go that far. But if we could, you know, well, we got Betsy DeVos. So what could go wrong with education with old Betsy in charge? I mean, between tax cuts for the rich. Okay, if you're not rich, you ain't going to college. Done. Wrapped. We'll see what the Senate does with these tax cuts, but it's not looking good. This is old trickle-down bullshit. You know, this is the theory that if the multimillionaires get richer, they will share the wealth with... Yeah, I know. I couldn't even finish it with a straight face. All right, here's the basic problem. It goes against human nature. Certainly goes against an American me-first culture. But people believe in it. They're buying into it. So that's that. Baby hands made it back from China and North Korea without starting World War III. So I guess we have to say that's a win. Because, you know, we lower the bar. We keep the bar low with Baby Hands. And he made some stupid statements. But as long as he didn't start World War III, we consider it a successful trip. So what did he come home and brag about? About helping three UCLA basketball players come home after being charged with shoplifting. The famous one, of course, being one of the Ball kids. But anyway, they were coming home anyway. I mean, they were already coming home. I think that was already established. They weren't coming home with the team, but they would be back. But of course, Donald Trump said, you know, I don't even get a thank you. And then LeVar Ball, the father, gets into it. So now we have a Twitter feud between LeVar Ball and Donald Trump, of which they're two losers. But I got to go with Ball on this one simply because it's against Trump. And somehow I just, which huckster am I going to believe? I'm going to believe LeVar Ball. But it truly is. It's true. Two hucksters, two guys barking at you from a street corner. Okay, you know, listen to my bullshit. No, listen to my bullshit. Well, LeVar, I'm going to listen to your bullshit. Not to be outdone by a Twitter feud with the Balls over basketball, Donald Trump also starts some shit with Marshawn Lynch's mother over football. And again, how does he have time for this? Like, isn't he supposed to be the president? Isn't there some shit he should be doing? You know what I mean? It just somehow you should be busier than this, but he's not, so... Marshawn Lynch, running back for the Raiders, they were playing football in Mexico. He sat down for the U.S. national anthem. He stood up for the Mexican national anthem. Now, listen, it's his protest, but it's also Marshawn Lynch is a smart man, and he knows this is going to fuck with all of these people, whether it be Baby Hands, Trump, or the NFL owners who are against the protests or whatever. He knows this is going to be like an extra dig to stand up for Mexico, and they buy into it. They're like children. They bought right into it, and blah blah blah. So Trump says that he should be suspended for the rest of the season, which ain't going to happen or whatever. And Marshawn Lynch, he doesn't say anything. He doesn't talk to the press or anybody. He just does his thing. So his mom stepped up on Twitter and said, basically said to Trump, you talking about the NFL? Didn't they not let you buy a team? Which is back in the 80s. Back in the 80s, Trump wanted an NFL team. And the NFL was like, no, we don't want your kind here. That's the other billionaires telling one of their, you know, we don't want you here. So he ended up buying a team in the USFL and ruining a guy named Herschel Walker's career. Look it up. It's sports history. So Baby Hands has had time for Twitter fights, but that's not all. He's also got time to help his fellow politicians. So he finally stood up for Roy Moore, and we knew this was going to happen. Roy Moore, you know who Roy Moore is, from Alabama. He started out early in his career dating 14-year-olds, then stepped up to the 17-year-olds, because I guess they were more mature. So this guy's caught up in all of this, accused of sexual assault. He did sign one girl's yearbook before he took her behind the diner and attempted to rape her. So that was nice because, you know, he signed a yearbook and wished her luck. Donald Trump says that Roy, you know, he couldn't be guilty because he vigorously denied the charges. You see, he totally denies it. So then, I mean, it couldn't be real because he totally denied it. President says that he said it didn't happen. Well, what else do you need then? You just say it didn't happen. Now, a bunch of Republicans have stepped away from Moore, but I don't think it has anything to do with the 14-year-old girls. It's because Moore is crazy. Moore is out of his mind. Moore is a racist and a homophobe, and he's old school white man Republican, right? He's the Republican that they are undercover. He is very publicly. So they don't want him in the Senate because it's going to expose a lot of them and make them all look bad. So they all act like they don't like his, you know, love of 14-year-old girls, but at least they said something against it. Not Donald Trump. Trump just said, hey, he denied it. So what more do you want? Which is good. That's all you have to do is deny anything. So you've heard me say this before. There is no bottom. Okay. They're plain and simple. There is no bottom. And this is an example of it. We have Roy Moore. We have a man who dated a 14-year-old girl when he was 32, but says, well, it was okay because, you know, I had her mom's permission, who allegedly was banned from the mall for chasing teenage girls. He was known to date teenage girls. I don't think there's any dispute on that. He had a thing for teenage girls. He, again, allegedly assaulted a 16-year-old girl and on and on. So basically, you have a guy who couldn't get a job in the food court at a mall, but can join the United States Senate because he denied it. So what more do you want? And here's the thing, and this is where there's no bottom. His defenders, and there's a lot of them. The last poll I saw, 33% of people said they still support him. 29% said it didn't matter. So that's over 50% are still with this guy. But they used the Bible. See, because they said, like, when Joseph and Mary, you know, Joseph was a spry, a young 100-and-something years old. And Mary was, I don't know, somewhere with 12 to 14, you know, in her prime Messiah breeding years. So it's okay for an old man to chase a young girl like that. And illegally young girl. Okay, so I think it was Ann Coulter was talking about some guy going after a 19-year-old. But that's the 19 is legal, Ann. Big difference between 14 and 19 by any standard. But there is no bottom. So not only is it okay for this guy to be who he is, for Moore to be who he is, they actually use the Bible to defend it. Okay, that is a thing. And remember, he vigorously denied it. And I think all people of color should remember that when you appear before one of these white judges that Donald Trump is setting up at a record-setting pace. Okay, a record-setting pace of judges he's putting in, one of which, a guy named Brett Talley, never tried a case. Unanimously rated not qualified by the American Bar Association. The Senate had no problem approving him for a lifetime appointment to the federal bench. So if you ever have to appear before one of these judges, I think what you need to do is vigorously deny the charges, and they will let you go. Again, this is at a record-setting pace. This is something, and I'm going to get into this because there's a reason this bothers me. So Donald Trump nominating white men to America's federal courts at a rate not seen in nearly 30 years. 91% of Trump's nominees are white, 81% are male. How do you think that's going to play out for you if you are a person of color or a woman and you end up in some case that is being decided by these judges? Not to mention, He's already put one judge on the Supreme Court. And again, we're looking at Ruth Bader Ginsburg. If God bless her, if she's gone, he'll be putting two in. Now, this is a problem, and I'll get into why in a minute. But first, unfortunately, got to do my little sexual harassment update. A couple of surprising names this week. Charlie Rose, fired. He's been accused by 8 different women of various degrees of sexual harassment, assault, etc., inappropriate behavior. And Al Franken, and that one surprised me. That one, I'm a supporter of Al. I love watching Al question nominees when he sits there in the Senate because he asks the toughest and most thought out questions, and he knows the answer before he asks the question. Apparently, Al was on a USO tour with Leanne Tweeden. Leanne Tweeden was a swimsuit cover model. I remember her. I like to say I remember people because I'm old. But anyway, so there was a picture. She was sitting in a helicopter, may or may not have been sleeping. Her eyes were closed, and he was going for the boob squeeze over the flak jacket. And she said it was, you know, terrible and traumatizing. And then they did some sketch, and a comedy sketch, and she thought it would be funnier to not accept his kiss, and he kissed her. Now, it was said that this, you know, this is a USO tour, and I've done USO tours, and they're big and they're fun. And this one was, she was there as a swimsuit model. They had, I think it was the Dallas cheerleaders. They had cheerleaders there. There were, in other words, there were sexual overtones to the jokes throughout this tour. Okay, now, all right, I'm going to get attacked because they're going to say I'm defending Al Franken or not. I'm questioning the circumstance, and this is the circumstance I'm questioning. The breast thing, I get it. It was a picture of him doing it. He couldn't touch her breast through a flak jacket because there's like metal plates in the jacket to protect you from bullets. But if she feels it was inappropriate and she feels she was being attacked or groped, I'm not going to sit here and say how she felt, okay? Only problem I have is when describing the sketch with the kiss, she said she thought it would be funnier to not kiss, even though it was supposed to be a kiss. I'm not buying. Listen, Al Franken, 15 years of Saturday Night Live, multiple books, etc. She's a swimsuit model. I'm going to say he knew what was funnier. That's all I'm going to say. He knew what was funnier. But anyway, Al Franken apologized. Sarah Huckabee at the White House attacked Al Franken, said the difference between, they were calling him Al Frankenstein, by the way. The same people who are defending Roy Moore, dating the 14-year-old is okay, but going for those swimsuit cover models, Al Frankenstein. And I know it's ridiculous to compare different men's levels of sexual harassment and the fact that the only thing that seems to be bipartisan in our society, in our government, is sexual harassment. But anyway, they were calling him Al Frankenstein, and Sarah Huckabee said the difference between him and President Trump, who said it's okay to grab him by the pussy, is that Al Franken admitted it. See, Trump denied it. See, you got to get that vigorous denial, which is going to be your defense if you're ever in court. Deny shit vigorously. That's what makes a difference. Bill Clinton, more talk about Bill Clinton, more, you know, him being investigated. Now, this is my tie-in with the judges. This is where I am confused by some people. I'm gonna put it that way. I am confused by some people. I'm not going to knock their judgment. I'm not going to knock their choices. It's a free country. You absolutely have a right to make a choice. And I'm not going to sit here and say you're wrong. I'm going to say that I'm confused by the thought process and the values. So I have a friend, and she is very anti-Hillary. She's very anti-Clinton. She thinks that she didn't like Hillary because she said Hillary protected Bill and Bill was a sexual predator. Okay, now I have a few problems with this. First of all, I don't buy the story of Bill Clinton being a rapist when he was a governor. If you were around when Bill Clinton was president, if you knew how much that Newt Gingrich and the House and Newt Gingrich's people hated Bill Clinton, if you knew how much money they spent investigating the Clintons with the Whitewater thing and the this and the that, they hated Bill Clinton. And if Bill Clinton had raped somebody, It would have come out. Now, was Bill grabbing ass? Absolutely. Yeah, you know Bill was grabbing ass in the governor's mansion and in the White House. Was Bill inappropriate? Was his relationship with Monica Lewinsky inappropriate? Absolutely. Were there probably other women where relationships were covered up, cheating on his wife? Yes, I'm sure he did. No doubt. I don't think he was a rapist. That's just my opinion. None of us know because we don't know. But anyway, this friend of mine, so she's anti-Hillary because of Hillary staying with Bill. Now, Hillary stays with Bill, in my opinion. She knows he's no good, but it's a political move, right? You're in politics, certain couples have to stay married. He was the president. She was the first lady. She's not going to divorce him. Then she wants to be president. If she's divorced from him, that the campaign's up. So I get it. She said, well, Hillary's just out for power. Well, anyone running for president is out for power. Come on. That's just a given. So here's my thing, though. So, like I said, Donald Trump is nominating these judges. Now, these judges, this is a lot of power. This is more power than the House or the Senate or the presidency, particularly Supreme Court judges, because it's a lifetime appointment, and you can change the Constitution. You understand what I'm saying? You can change, and don't think that if they get a majority, if Ruth Bader Ginsburg goes and they get this majority conservative court, you can pretty much kiss the Civil Rights Act goodbye. They will take it apart. They're already experimenting with segregating schools. And they'll just say, hey, you can't mention race. And if you can't mention race, we can make everything the way it used to be. So you're looking at the Civil Rights Act going out of the window. Abortion, good chance that they'll make abortion illegal. A lot of these people are just total anti-abortionists, and they're men who think they can control women's bodies. And if they get the court, Supreme Court, they will. Gay rights, ha! Yeah, okay, good luck with that one. And so on. And so my question is that worth it? Like, is your dislike of Hillary Clinton for defending, not even defending, for staying with Bill, your dislike of her is so much that you're willing to trade off the court system? That I don't get that. That confuses me. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying you're right. It's not my decision. It's your vote. And America voted. And to America, I guess that's the case. America's like, well, we'd rather have Donald Trump and we'd rather have this Republican thing. That's been America's choice. It confuses me. I think the Democratic Party really blew it in the last election by not emphasizing the courts and the judges and what was going to happen in the long term and telling people how this was going to affect them. I think that's where the Democrats dropped the ball. You got to tell people how it's going to affect them. Republicans are very good. They're full of shit, but they're very good at it, right? Every time they mention guns, they're taking away your freedom. Your freedom. Now, that's meaning that in, when I say it's meaningless, I don't mean freedom's meaningless. I mean, there's no way to quantify that. There's no way to measure that. It's just a word that gets people all riled up and gets them crazy. The Democrats don't know how to do that. They haven't known how to do that, and they don't know how to win an election because you got to do that. You got to sell people something simple, a simple benefit, whether it be, you know, they're killing babies. They're millions of babies. Planned Parenthood kills 17 million babies a month. It's all bullshit, but people listen to it. And then Democrats, you could have come out with, they're going to change the Constitution and take away the Civil Rights Act, and then maybe you get more minority voters. Or you talk about how they're destructive they are to labor, and you get the union vote back. Something. But no, we got nothing. So, wait, yeah, this is my happy Thanksgiving podcast. Jeez, I'm sorry. I'm trying. Okay, so I think we're done with this and that. And what else I got here? This is great. This story just, and again, this just goes to my old days in aerospace. There's actually an article here from the LA Times. A once empty parking lot at Northrop top secret aircraft plant in Palmdale is now jammed with cars. More than 1,000 new employees are working, blah, blah, blah. And here Northrop is building Air Force new B-21 bomber, a stealthy jet designed to slip behind the adversary's air defense system. Yeah, so much for building a secret bomber. Nice article on where it's being built and how you know it's being built because the company's ramping up. What a joke. But anyway, good for those people. Good for the town of Palmdale. It's good for work. Do we need it? I don't know. Era of drone warfare, who knows? But good for them for having jobs. I just think it's hilarious that the LA Times is printing all of this, talking about the secret bomber. This is where the secret bomber is being built. What else I got? I'm looking for good news. There had to be some somewhere. I'm just going through my news feed. Not much looking good. Maybe it's me. Well, did I mention I met a prince? That was pretty cool. You know, maybe, speaking of Prince Albert had a mistress who has a child, and he's publicly accepted and that it's his child and so forth. And we know about, you know, sexy politicians in France and Italy. Maybe our problem with all this sexual harassment and stuff, one of our problems is this fake Puritan attitude we have. We're so hung up on sex that, you know what I mean? Like, that's why it's such a big deal. And in other countries where they're not hung up on, it's not a big deal. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand this sexual harassment by these guys. It's sometimes it's not even sexual. It's just a power play. It's just letting women know that they have control over them. Or it's men who don't hear the word no. Men who can't comprehend not being allowed to do anything they want to do. And I'm not talking about there are different degrees because what Al Franken did is different than what Weinstein did or what Roger Ailes did. When, you know, when it gets to you're putting a woman in a position of her job is at stake, her career is at stake, etc. That's a whole different thing than taking an inappropriate picture or something like that. It really is. I know it's all harassment, but there are different degrees. And again, I'm not dismissing any of these women or what they've suffered or whatever. I don't know what that's like. I do not know what it's like, so I can't say it. But I will say that a lot of these guys who are doing it, this is a power thing. This is a control over women thing, and it's fucking horrible. So I'm glad it's being exposed. I'm glad it's being stopped. But I also think that part of it is we're so hung up on sex and we have this sort of false Puritan thing like, ooh, sex is bad. But porn is a $50 billion industry that only three people watch, you know. So if we can get past that, and I don't know if we can get past that. I don't know. But if we could, maybe we wouldn't have this problem so much. And I go back again to what I read somewhere. This one, I don't know who said it or whatever, but it says rather than try to teach women not to tempt, why don't we teach men not to rape? That'd be good. Let's teach men not to rape. There's another cheerful part of my podcast. All right, I'll just go to sports because what could go wrong there? Oh, my Clippers on a 9-game losing streak. We are in the 80s. We are in the 80s. Trickle-down economics and the Clippers suck. We're back in the 80s. I don't know when it happened. I wasn't paying attention. I'm supposed to be paying attention. I wasn't paying attention. And we slipped back into the 80s. Next thing you know, people will be doing cocaine again. No, they really won't. We like opioids. That's it. That's all I got. Thank you so much for your support over the years. Keep supporting me. I appreciate it. Listen, tell somebody about me. Trying to build my name, trying to build my brand. I love what I do. I love my comedy. I love NPR. I love the jazz world and stuff. I'd like to sell more tickets. You guys listen and you support me. Tell someone else. Lie to them if you have to. Tell a Republican I'm with them. They won't know, but once they buy the ticket, we got them. I love you. Thanks for listening. Thanksgiving weekend, I'm going to be at the Brea Improv in Orange County. It's going to be great Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You can laugh off eating too much, okay? I'll be there for you. I love you. Thank you. This is Alonzo Bowden. Who's paying attention? You guys are. Best people in the world. Thanks.